Hey, members. We are back in. We have Senator Wright with us, and we are going to be going to tab three. Tab three, Senator Wright has Senate Bill 1244. Senator Wright, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. How are you all today? Okay, good. Well, this is an easy one, I think. Senate Bill 1244 is intended to raise the vote needed for debt issuance in a community development district from a majority vote to a supermajority vote. This bill raises the requirement for CDDs to issue bonds and to take on additional debt for services. In general, this bill increases the fiscal accountability for CDDs. And that's it.
Great. Members, do we have any questions of this bill? Okay, we have no questions. We have no amendments. We do have some appearance cards. We have Demetrius Minor with Americans for Prosperity, who is waving in support of the bill. And we have Cheryl Stewart with the Association of Florida's Community Developers. Thank you for being here. And Ms. Stewart is here against the bill. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Cheryl Stewart with Hopping Green and Sams. I'm representing the Association of Florida Community Developers. And I want to thank the sponsor for continuing to have some fruitful discussions with the whole constellation of people who are, again, it's risen to the top of our list, too, who have some concerns about this bill. When you amend Chapter 190, it's often the case that we find unintended consequences of one amending one portion and having another. And I think that's what we have here. We think there may be an inadvertent impact on the orderly transition from landowner voting to resident voting. And so we are working with the sponsor to try to address that concern, and we look forward to further conversations as we go forward. So thank you. But we are opposed for it in its current form.
Got it.
Madam Chair.
Yes, a question from Senator Pizzo.
Good question. If I may.
You may.
To you. What are the term limits for board members?
We do not have term – well, Madam Chair, elections are every 2 years. So in the first 6 years of a district under 5,000 acres, landowners are voting. After that, those seats have to be filled by residents. So if the landowner doesn't live in the district, they cannot be reelected. Does that make sense?
It does. And so, just a quick follow-up. In your experience, when you have seen debt financing votes from these CDDs, how are they overwhelmingly below 50 plus one? Are they all over the place? Raising this to two-thirds has what kind of effect, do you believe?
Raising it to two-thirds, it's the two-thirds vote of the board members, right? So we have all CDDs by law have a five-member board. So we have to get 4 out of 5 votes. What happens is in the landowner elections, when the transition occurs, as I'm talking about, at year six, so if you get to year six and you have 250 voters living in your district, then at that election, two residents get elected to the board. So now the vote is 3-2. Landowners on three. And then in years 6, 7, and 8, or those last cut 2 years, really, you'd need that fourth vote from a resident. And if a landowner is developing a project, and it may even be issuing bonds usually for the last phase, even where there's no residents, you've changed the dynamics of the vote. And I don't think that's what was intended here, but that's the major problem with this, with the bill for us, is that it changes that transition, which frankly, I've been doing this 30-some years, has worked pretty well. It's the one kind of district in the law that has an actual date, time certain. You can tell exactly when you're going to transition to resident voting. So, again, we have been working with the sponsor to educate the whole basket of issues. So we look forward to continuing to work. But that's our concern.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Those are all the appearance cards that I have, and we have no no amendments. So are there any other questions or debate at this time? Any other questions? Yes, Senator Broxson.
Senator Wright, tell me how you came to propose this change. What's the problem we're trying to solve here?
Well, actually, this was brought to us from the majority office to represent this bill. And so the situation was the concern with a five-member committee. So if you have three, not enough. So we needed to change it to the super vote of four people had to be in favor of indebting this issue. So this whole CDD program is to allow people to actually put that subdivision or that particular piece of property in debt. And so they wanted to make sure that there is a supermajority that would coincide with the bill provides for the need for the supermajority, which is the same thing we require for bonds. So that's really how it comes to the supermajority requirement. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. And just kind of to piggyback on that, I'd certainly encourage for you to meet with those who have expressed some concerns.
Certainly.
Because I think that you'd see that probably this bill just needs a little bit more tightening up before we get to its final stop, so
okay.
that there are not challenges.
It's a good idea.
When we get there. That would be a good idea. That would be my suggestion.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have other questions or suggestions or debate? Senator Pizzo.
Thank you. Reflective in our bicameral legislature here, there are things that require two-thirds of the vote, except there's 120 people in one and 40 in the other.
Yep.
I got educated today to get 4 out of 5 is mm-hmm. is great for a math test for me. But, you know, it's just if there were 7 members, if there were 9 members, it's just – and there is no in-between. It's either majority or supermajority with so low a number. I just – But thanks, Senator Broxson, for asking the question.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Great.
Thank you.
Members, that's all we've got. So, Senator Wright, to close on your bill.
Well, just to thank you very much, Madam Chairman. That's a 67.7% supermajority. So it's not even asking for an 80%, just so you know how it works out with the math. So other than that, we're asking for your favorable vote.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, Sherlyn, please call the roll on Senate Bill 1244.
Senator Broxson. Senator Pizzo.
Yes.
Senator Simmons. Senator Farmer.
Yes.
Chair Flores.
Yes, by your vote show the bill passing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Senator Brandis has tab 2, CS for Senate Bill 380. Senator Brandis, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I try to always bring to this legislature bold ideas to solve big problems, and this is not one of those. This bill simply requires an insurer to include a flood insurance disclosure to policyholders only when a current homeowner's policy excludes flood insurance. OIR has indicated that's necessary law change to eliminate confusion among policyholders. That's the bill. There's no amendments.
Great. Thank you, members. Are there questions?
Quick question.
Senator Pizzo for
Thank
a question.
You, Senator Brandis, wouldn't you say that 4 out of 5 is 80%?
Oh, my.
4 out of 5 is 80%, right?
Right.
Okay, thank you. That's no other questions. Then.
Okay, great. I do have not a question, I guess so. Question is... you know, sometimes we get a little concerned with insurance issues, even though we love Senator Broxson and the great work he's doing in the Banking and Insurance Committee. And so I just want to make sure that you don't anticipate that there would be any changes made to this bill.
Oh, my. You're like the second person who's done this to me. So this bill started off a little bit more broad, and then we've narrowed the title from an act relating to home and insurance to an act relating to homeowners insurance policy disclosures. I feel like every time I need to bring my Harry Potter wand and solemnly swear that I'm up to no good before I bring this bill forward. But I can guarantee you this is a tight bill, that there is very limited room for working on it. And I really have no bold ideas in the world of policy disclosures other than this one.
Okay, great. That's all we needed to hear. And points for getting a Harry Potter reference into community affairs.
Thank you.
Okay, members, we have some appearance cards. Caitlin Murray from the Office of Insurance Regulation. They are waving in support of the bill. And Lisa Miller with the Security First Insurance is here waving in support of the bill as well. Okay, members, any further debate, questions, suggestions? Senator Broxson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As a practitioner in selling these and dealing with claims, you should put it in the front of the policy, in the middle, in the back, and all through every page. Mm-hmm. People are so confused about flood insurance. Mm-hmm. And when they don't have it, it is catastrophic. So thank you. I know it's doubling down on an issue that they should be aware, but this does a better job in making sure that people are aware that they may or may not have flood insurance.
Great. Members, any further debate, Seeing no debate, Senator Brandes, recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's exciting because Florida's flood insurance market has gone from having zero private riders 6 years ago to having over 25 today. They'll write 30,000 policies next year because of the work this legislature's done. So I want to thank you for your support, and it's exciting to see this area of policy move forward as quickly as it has.
Okay. Great. Thank you. With that, Sherlyn, please call the roll on CS Percentable 380.
Senator Broxson.
Yes.
Senator Pizzo.
Yes.
Senator Simmons. Vice Chair Farmer?
Yes.
Chair Flores?
Yes. By your vote, show the bill passing.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. And we'll now go next to Senator Hooper. That is Tab 6, Senate Bill 724. Senator Hooper, you are recognized to explain this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senators, good afternoon. Senate Bill 724, Senators. In 2000, upon finding that drowning was the leading cause of death in young children in Florida, as well as a significant cause of death for medically frail elderly, this legislature enacted FS 515, the Residential Swimming Pool Safety Act. That act provided that all new residential swimming pools, spas, and hot tubs must be equipped with at least one safety feature of five listed to protect children under six and the medically frail. That law is still in effect. This bill changes that law, and here's what this bill does. It creates this act as the Kaysen's Cause Act. You will hear about Kaysen, a two-year-old that tragically drowned in a family swimming pool. It lists that of those five items currently in statute, instead of having one of those, you now will have to have two of those five. It creates that a home inspection is required to list on that report that you must comply with two of those five before you can transfer that property. And, Madam Chair, there is an amendment that further clarifies the bill.
Members, we do have one amendment. First, do you have any questions on the bill? Okay, we do have one amendment. It is barcode 707110 by Senator Hooper. Senator Hooper, you are recognized to explain.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The amendment does the following. It removes what is listed in the bill today as the second-degree misdemeanor criminal language. Takes it out of the bill.
Okay.
It also changes the effective date to October 1, 2019. That is the amendment.
Okay. Members, any questions? Okay. Seeing no questions of the amendment, and there are some appearance cards on the amendment. Jeremy Howard from Kaysen's Cause is here to wave in support of the amendment. April Phillips from Kaysen's Cause is here to speak in favor of the amendment. Thank you so very much for being here, Ms. Phillips.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you for allowing me to speak here today. This is an extremely personal and important bill. In 2018, there were 88 drownings in our state of Florida, 88 fatal child drownings. That was a 7% increase from 2017. 76% of those were children 3 and under, and 50% of those drownings occurred in homes that were not the family home. It was a friend or a relative's home. On September 28, 2017, Kaysen and his twin sister were being babysat at my home while their mother and I were out planning my vow renewal. Kaysen managed to bypass a sliding glass door. He bypassed a weak fence that was surrounding the pool. There was a safety measure up, and he ultimately drowned. His twin sister was there to witness this. This happened the day before their third birthday. And she tried to save him by telling the adult that was home that he was in the pool. All life-saving measures were performed, but it was too late, and Kaysen was not coming back to us. So Brittany, Kaysen's mom, she, in her grief, she wanted to know why. She wanted answers, and so she started researching. And the amount of research she did led us to understand the flaw in our current residential pool safety law, and that is that it only requires one safety measure out of five in newly built homes and newly built pools. That leaves 90% of the homes in Florida not having to have any safety measure up whatsoever on their pool. We thought long and hard on how we could address this, how we could fix this, how we could help protect Florida's children. And the best way that we could think of was to bring, during a home sale, to have the inspector have a little checkbox that says, there are two safety measures in place here. And if not, then that's between the buyer and seller to discuss, just as any other piece of the property that would be in an inspector's report you might want fixed. this is the only way we could think of that would really bring up those older homes that were built before 2000. I am up here because I want to give you my unique perspective that most people would not be up here to tell you. You do not want to be that person that could have had two safety measures in place and a child drowns in your pool. And knowing that if there had been an alarm on the door in addition to the fence that he was able to bypass, the adult would have known that the door was opened, Kaysen got outside, and I wouldn't be here speaking in front of any of you today because we would have Kaysen. Thank you very much. Brittany and I, we created Kaysen's Cause. We are a nonprofit foundation, and this was our first order of business, was to get the law changed and to update it so that our children are protected. Every public health advocate in the country recommends two safety measures on a pool because one safety measure can fail, and it did. It failed Kaysen. And we don't want to see other families suffer the way Brittany and her family has suffered, the way my family has suffered. It doesn't just tear apart one family, it tears apart multiple. And like I had said, 50% of those drownings in 2018 were in a relative or a friend's home. And that is my perspective that I wanted to give to you. I am willing to answer any questions that any of you may have. I am open to any.
Thank you so very much for being up here and sharing your story.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Last up on the amendment, we have Brittany Howard. Okay, Brittany will be waving in support of the amendment. Members, on the amendment, is there any objection? Is there any objection? Okay, no, without objection, show the amendment adopted. We're now back on the bill as amended, and we do have one more appearance card, and that is from Scott Farney from the Florida YMCAs, who are also in support of the bill. So thank you very much for that. Members, on this bill, do we have any debate? Do you have debate on the bill?
I'm sorry, it was just Senator Hooper, thank you for bringing this bill. I got a furtive text this morning from Bridget McKinney from PSWAP in Miami-Dade County, who educates several hundred kids every year on life safety as it relates to the pool. And she said, Pizzo, you better vote yes on this bill. I would have anyway, but I thank you for bringing this bill.
This is a whole lot more fun than sprinklers.
Yeah. members, do we have further debate? Okay. I'd just say again, Senator, thank you so much for taking up this issue. Thank you so much, not just for those families who are here, but for those who have been affected. So thank you, and with that, you close.
Don't you cry, because I'll cry. Okay. Madam Chair, thank you. And Senators, thank you. When Brittany and April came to my office, we ran out of Kleenex. So if this bill doesn't pass this year, you can rest assured you will see me next year. And if it doesn't pass next year, you will see me the year after that if you're still here. I do this for only, you know, we amended out of the bill all of the punishment. We just want people to not die in a pool. If your pool was built in 1999, you don't even have to have a fence in your backyard. You have to have zero. The easiest way we could find to make a start is to make an opportunity where when you decide to sell your property, we would hope that the seller and the buyer could agree to at least put two safety items that may save a kid's life or a frail elderly person. Of the five that are approved, two of those cost $59.95 each. So we're not asking people to go to the bank and refinance their home. You can comply for $120 and be safe and sound and hopefully prevent one child. Been there, done that, pulled them out, still bothers me. I would hope that I could encourage you to support this bill, and I thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. With that, Sherlyn, please call the roll on Senate Bill 724.
Senator Broxson. Senator Pizzo.
Yes.
Senator Simmons.
Yes.
Vice Chair Farmer.
Yes.
Chair Flores.
Yes. You. By your vote, show CS for Senate Bill 724 is being reported favorably.
Thank you, Senators.
Thank you. Members, last on the agenda, we have Senator Baxley's bill. That is tab 4, Senate Bill 710.
Thank you, Chairman. Appreciate it. As an aside, I want to thank you for that last bill. I also have a little nephew that drowned in a family incident this year in the last 6 months, and I know how real that is. I'm going to bring you sort of a boring bill. It's a
it's
little
important too.
You're ready for a little adjustment on for this is really for the our property appraisers, and it's the bill seeks to institute a deadline for filing late file petitions with the Value Adjustment Board so they can do their job. And I do have an amendment.
Thank you. Members, there is one amendment on the bill, 166472, by Senator Baxley. Senator Baxley, you recognize on the amendment.
Thank you. In putting this bill forth and filing it, we discovered there didn't need to be an adjustment here. Amendment. This amendment clarifies that reschedulers for good cause for their value adjustment meeting can reschedule due to a conflict in scheduling, and that reschedulers for good cause do not include a reschedule due to a conflict in scheduling for them. It clarifies that in counties where at least 5,000 Value Adjustment Board petitions are filed, that good cause does not include being scheduled in different jurisdictions at the same time or date unless the conflict involves the same petitioner or property appraiser.
Okay. Members, do we have any questions on the amendment? Okay. There are no appearance cards on the amendment. Are there any objection? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We're now back on the bill. We do have one appearance card, and that is Albert Belito with the Florida Association of Property Appraisers, and they are waving in support of this bill. And we're now back on the bill. Do we have any further questions or debate? Okay, seeing no debate, Senator Baxley, having waved his close. Sherlyn, please call the roll on CS for SB 710.
Senator Broxson.
Yes.
Senator Pizzo.
Yes.
Senator Simmons.
Yes.
Vice Chair Farmer.
Yes.
Chair Flores.
Yes, by your vote show the bill passing. Members, do we have any further business, any motions? Senator Simmons, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would request and move that I be shown as having voted in the affirmative with respect to SB 1004, SB 1244, SB 380, and I think that's it.
Okay. Great. Without objection, show that motion adopted. Anything else? Okay, seeing no further business, Senator Farmer moves we rise.